This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. The past month, we've seen nothing but record high temperatures, and it looks like July will be even warmer and drier. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the unusual part of the warm spring is the amount of moisture that's come with the extra warmth, almost making in a greenhouse-like growing environment.
Almost too much rain in some spots with a lot of ponding and standing water in recent days across large sections of the northern and western Corn Belt. But we got to come back to that warmth because you might remember going back a ways, we had a very delayed onset to spring this year. In fact, I would dare say we flipped the switch right from winter to summer this year. We had a very cold April and then a record warm May for the U.S., records going back into the late 19th century.
The warm and wet weather is getting to be a concern for continued crop development in many parts of the country.
Corn and soybeans move into reproductive and filling stages. Is that if this warm weather continues and we get into the heart of summer, there is some concern about temperatures. And given the soil moisture that we have in a lot of areas, the concern becomes high or warm overnight temperatures that could potentially cut into yield potential for corn in particular, because it kind of gets one shot to move through reproduction, but also a concern for soybeans as well.
Looking ahead to the July forecast, Rippey says there are some signs that things are going to dry out in certain areas of the country.
And at the same time, we have a forecast that indicates that above normal temperatures are likely across a broad area of the country, the vast majority of the country. Looking at odds tilted toward a warm July, that really wouldn't be any different than what we've seen already in May and June with that overarching warmth. So again, we come back to getting into the dog days of summer, reproduction and grain fill. Do we have enough cool nights to allow this crop to reach optimal potential, or do we have temperatures? And I think this is especially true in some of the southern production areas as you move into the southern and southwestern Corn Belt and parts of the central and southern Great Plains. Do we have enough of these warm nights that it starts cutting into yield potential?
Over the past week, Rippey says the upper Midwest and Corn Belt have seen some big rainfall totals.
We've seen some tremendous rains in parts of the Corn Belt, stretching from southeastern South Dakota, parts of Nebraska, and that axis of heavy rain is extended through southern Minnesota, parts of Iowa and on into the northern Corn Belt across northern Illinois, Indiana, and even northwestern Ohio. I just came through that area just a few days ago, especially in the eastern Corn Belt. I saw a lot of standing water, ponding water. And, you know, it's strange to say as we move into late June and early July, but there are some fairly broad areas that could really use some dry weather at this point.
In spite of heavy rains in certain parts of the Corn Belt, other parts of the region are very dry.
Absolutely. We still have some dry pockets out there, and a couple that come to mind, especially with respect to Midwestern agriculture, we still have a little corner of the southwestern Corn Belt, especially across northern Missouri, that remains on the dry side. Now, a week ago in the USDA Topsoil Moisture Report, we were still looking at topsoil moisture rated about two-thirds, 67%, very short to short, in the state of Missouri. And we also have some areas across the southern high plains, particularly West Texas, then extending westward to Southern California, that remain extraordinarily dry despite a few showers in the last week or two.
That was USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. In national news, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says President Donald Trump will protect U.S. farmers from trade retaliations. In a USA Today editorial, Perdue says if China does not soon mend its ways, we will quickly begin fulfilling our promise to support producers. Perdue says Trump knows U.S. farmers feed, fuel, and clothe the world, and that he will not allow U.S. agriculture to bear the brunt of China's retaliations. China is retaliating against the Trump trade war by targeting U.S. agricultural products such as soybeans and many others. The Department of Agriculture has yet to release its plan to support farmers through a trade war. Purdue says it's a simple case of not releasing your plan when the opposing team is watching. However, agriculture is eager to see what's in store as trade tensions rise. Meanwhile, Purdue says if Trump is successful, farmers will reap the benefits. The Farm Show will return after these messages. It was clear when attending the 2018 Illinois FFA Convention in Springfield that students interested in agriculture are in high demand. That demand was exemplified by diverse community colleges and universities recruiting prospective students during the recent Illinois FFA State Convention in Springfield. Illinois' four universities with agriculture programs occupied a higher-profile convention hall location than in previous years. The university's displays greeted FFA members, advisors, presidents, and supporters as they entered the building. One floor below, the main exhibit hall teemed with booths and giveaways from both community colleges and universities vying for students' attention. Jeff Kuhn, Oakland High School ag teacher, reported junior colleges are increasingly recruiting his students. Junior colleges are hitting it harder, Kuhn said. Kuhn, a Coles County Farm Bureau director, added more junior colleges are opening agriculture programs around Illinois. Illinois universities captured the attention of Pawnee FFA members, according to their advisor, Matthew Rawlings. All of my kids looked at in-state schools, he said, mentioning Southern Illinois University, Western Illinois University, and Illinois State University. But out-of-state competition continues to grow for Illinois students. Vincennes University, Vincennes, Indiana, sponsored a convention session. South Dakota State University made its first recruitment foray to the state FFA convention, said Andrea Schubloom, a marketing and communications intern with the Ag College. It's new territory to explore, Schubloom said. It's a little outside our area, but we went to Wisconsin FFA convention and wanted to see what interest was here. Schubloom showed a 2-inch high stack of completed student information cards. We've been very successful. Students are asking about our program, Schubloom said. Iowa State University has recruited prospective students for 3 or 4 years at the Illinois FFA Convention, said Stephanie Zumbach, undergraduate student coordinator in agronomy. Iowa State enticed FFAers with a handout about special financial awards for Illinois residents. Illinois students are important to our student body, Zumbach said. FFA is important to our student body, and what better place to find students? Out-of-state recruitment doesn't surprise Ryan Kinzinger, Oakland High School agriculture teacher. Officials with Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky, regularly asked to speak with his students, Kinzinger said, adding quite a few students from the Oakland School District attend colleges in other states. The migration of Illinois high school graduates to out-of-state universities has reached significant levels. About 46% of 2016 Illinois high school graduates who enrolled in a four-year university went out of state, compared to 29% in 2002, according to the Illinois State Board of Higher Education. During that 14-year period, the out-of-state enrollment rate increased by more than 57%. In spring, Illinois' four ag universities launched a united recruitment effort dubbed Keeping Our Best in Illinois. The universities encourage students to find the degree program best suited for them, especially in Illinois. The Macoupin County Fair begins tonight at 6 p.m. with the Twilight Harness Racing. Tomorrow, the fair will begin with 4-H swine judging at 8 a.m. and 4-H sheep judging at 1 p.m. On Thursday, the 4-H beef show will begin at 10 a.m. and the junior livestock auction will begin at 6:30 that evening. Friday, the open cattle show will begin at 8 a.m., followed by poultry at 9 a.m., and the goat show at 1 p.m. Friday night, during the truck and tractor pools, CHS will be having a hospitality stand in the pit. CHS will be serving food, drinks, and have reserved seating available. Saturday, the fair kicks off at 8 a.m. with the Section 15 FFA fair. The rabbit show will begin at 9 a.m., the open goat show at 9:30 a.m., and the open horse show at 10 a.m. Be sure to come on out to your county fair and support your local agriculture. That's all the time we have on your afternoon farm show. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.